Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Lewis says you got people have demons everywhere. They're messed up. He said people say, well, there's no such thing as a devil and demons. He said they're messed up. And so we're talking about understanding the devil today. And he comes so subtly. If the devil doesn't frighten you, he just rolls over and says, I'm not anything, I'm just a joke. Figment of imagination, no big deal. Either extreme, he's everywhere or he's nowhere, we're in trouble.
The truth is, you can stand against the devil just like Jesus. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Strategy of Satan, and shares proven truth to help you resist the devil and send him running, just like Jesus did. Don't miss that message coming up next. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Strategy of Satan.
America has some big words that we've incorporated into our culture and into our values. Generosity. Tolerance, fairness, justice, these are gigantic words to all of us who live in America. But these words in our day and age have been redefined, used out of context, spun around, and they have been incorporated into the marketing of evil. And we know evil has been packaged, perfumed, and gift wrapped. And the tragedy is that most of us have bought into it. And now suddenly we look around at America and the moorings upon which we have stood on the basis of the Constitution and the bylaws have been slowly but surely ripped out. And we look around and ask, what happened? What's going on? And the only explanation anybody can give is evil. Now, we have defined evil. We've decided that when something is perfect, something is whole and complete, W-H-O-L-E, and it gets a hole in it, that hole itself is evil. You go down a highway that is supposed to be smooth, and there's a pothole in it, if you can find such a road like that around here. That hole is evil, and unless something's done about it, it'll get larger and larger and larger. In the solar system, we're told there are black holes out there that just suck everything in. Those black holes are a pretty good metaphor for evil. Pretty good metaphor for evil. And we say that this evil has been presented to us and it's perfumed. You know, it's sweet smelling. The etymology of the word perfume is interesting. It means covering with smoke. Isn't that interesting? Perfume, covering with smoke. Goes all the way back to the Stone Age. Fire was invented, and they would put different kinds of wood on the fire. Notice that, you know, oak smells different from pine. Cedar smells different from oak. And they noticed a different kind of wood they put on the fire, you got a different aroma. And so that was a perfume. And they decided that when they would burn these different kinds of wood, that perfume would go up in all the gods that they worshiped. And they had numerous gods in primitive time, a god to the trees, a god to the lakes, a god to the ocean, a god to the moon, a god to the stars, a god to the plants, a god to the harvest. They had all kinds of gods, and they thought this sweet-smelling perfume would sort of enhance their relationship with God. It'd be part of their sacrifice to God. You cut down a tree, you'd better make a sacrifice to the tree god. That's how they operated. And it moves over into Egypt, and the Egyptians were the first to take this perfume, and they'd put wood and soak it in oil, put other herbs in there, you'd get a sweet aroma, and they would bathe their bodies with it and said, you know, regardless of the corruption in which we're living, our gods like, you know, like the sweet smelling of perfume. And they had a god to everything. They named it god of Bacchus, pleasure, the god of war, all the different gods. They said, boy, sweet smelling. And then they took perfume and put it on birds, household birds. They'd say, oh, well, they just, you know, they'd put it on dogs and cats. And there was an aroma going everywhere. They'd apply it on their bodies until Christianity came along. And the perfume business declined. Why? Christians said it's not how you smell on the outside or how you look on the outside. Christ begins in the heart. Moves from the inside out. No matter what aromas you put out for your body, no matter what you're covering up with perfume and the body odor you might have, Christ looks on the heart. So perfume was used only in the Roman world or the early Christian world in burial and for other things. Now, I'm not saying using perfume is wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm saying that evil has been perfumed in our culture. And it smells so sweet and so alluring that the marketing strategy of Satan has worked very, very effectively. The scripture I want us to see is in Ephesians chapter number 6. We're not putting on the armor yet. We will. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you be able to stand. That's it, isn't it? We just want to be able to stand in the 21st century. Just to stand. Firm against the schemes of the devil. Operative word is schemes. In other words, schemes is the plan, the platform, the program of Satan. If you want to study your enemy, study your opponents, you'd better know their plans, their programs. All the pro teams that are playing today, you can be sure they have spent hours and hours and hours studying everything about their opposition. Defense, offense, everything. The schemes of Satan. You see, the schemes of Satan have been perfumed. And then look at the next operative word in verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. And here we look at the struggle. The struggle that we have with evil has been perfumed. The schemes have been perfumed to cover up the schemes of Satan. The struggle we have with evil has been perfumed. Covered with smoke. We don't see it. The bait, yes, but not the hook. Would you pray with me as we prepare to worship? Father, you speak, let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy truth might be heard. But Lord, most of us have heard a lot of sermons. We've received a lot of advice, some of it biblical. But Lord, still, a lot of us don't even get it. We continue to walk in darkness when you offer light. We continue to live in captivity when you want to set us free. We continue to buy the packaging and the aroma of the world when you offer real gifts that will last forever. Lord, you speak now. Let me get out of the way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Albert Camus tells a story entitled The Fall. It's a story of a lawyer in Paris, very prominent, churchman, generous, well-respected. And one day he was walking across a bridge covering the Seine River, and as he walked, his peripheral vision, he saw there a woman who was leaning over the rail, and he just perceived that she was desperate, and he knew something wasn't quite right, but he just walked by on the other side and kept walking. In a few minutes, he heard a little cry and a splash. And the atheistic writer Camus said he knew that she jumped in to take her own life. He said, I had a choice to make. It was dark. He said, I could have gone and jumped in and tried to save her. But he said, you know, I didn't swim very well. It was dark and I might drown. He said, or I could have gone and gotten help and said, come and let's see if we can get her out. And she's in the river. But he said, you know, I'm a lawyer and I get involved in something like that. I might be, you know, some legal and I'll be, don't know who she is. And I might be in charge myself somehow, an accessory or negligent or something. And he said, I didn't want to do that. He said, the third option was just keep on walking. Just keep walking in the dark. He said, nobody saw me. Nobody saw her. He said, just keep walking. He said, I kept on walking. If you know, I couldn't sleep that night, he said. I couldn't sleep the next night, and I couldn't get it off my conscience. I knew why I didn't jump in. I knew why I didn't go and help. But he said, I didn't know I was the kind of person that would just keep on walking in the darkness. He said, then it came to me that everything I had done in life, said this Paris lawyer, I had done for my own comfort. And the good things I had done, I made sure that somebody else knew about them. I made sure somebody else knew about them. And he said, then I realized I didn't like the person I'd become. He said, when I was by myself, I was not with a good person. By the way, what kind of person are you in when you're by yourself? What kind of person are you with? Huh? That's the reason you got to have racket going on, noise going on, something going on, be exhausted before we go to sleep. Because when we get totally quiet and still, what kind of person are you? What kind of person am I in the darkness? Hello? In the darkness, he didn't like himself. And time went by, and he kept on his conscience. And one day, he was walking across another bridge, and he stopped and looked over. And he said, I began to rationalize. He said, you know, I'm better than, he named another lawyer in his firm. I'm not better than he is. He said, I'm better than, he named a woman that he knew. Oh, boy, I'm a lot better than she is. Then he said, I began to think, you know, I'm better than most people in the world. And he said, when I had that thought, laughter erupted behind me. He said, I turned around. No one was there. He realized that something had him by the throat. He didn't know what it was, but it was evil. Evil. He wanted somebody to know. He'd never done anything that he didn't always let somebody know. I got up this morning about 5:20. I did what I usually do. I rolled out of bed and hit my knees. And I prayed for a while. Joe Beth asleep. Winston snoring. It's my dog. And I prayed a while, and when I got up, I had a charley horse cramp, and I got up in the wrong way, and I felt like, and you know, that really, I don't know, nobody's looked at it, no diagnosis yet, but it feels like, you know, I'm hurt, but I may be injured. You know the difference. If you're an athlete, you know. When you're hurt, you play. If you're injured, you go to the doctor, you stay on the bench, you don't get in the game. So I hope I'm just hurt. I may be injured, I don't know. Now, I thought about whether I should tell you that or not. I said, you know, I'm not going to tell them that, but everybody will ask, how did you get hurt? And I decided I'd say, you know, your pious pastor was praying this morning at 5:15, and I have a prayer injury. I've never heard anybody injured at prayer. If you, I may be the first one. I'm like that lawyer. I want you to know what a pious guy I am. See how evil can deal with us in the prayer closet? Oh, I fasted Thursday. I mean, don't tell anybody. See how evil works in a prayer closet? And how evil works on a larger, more demonic scale? It's hard to pick up evil when we're being so pious and churchy, but we can pick it up on a larger scale. Remember the Menendez brothers who shot their parents, remember them? Was it Eric and Lyle? They'd emptied their shotgun, and the mother crawled out in her own blood and said, "Lyle, Lyle, don't kill me, help me, Lyle." And Lyle went in the other room and reloaded and came back and finished her off. Let me tell you something. When Lyle reloaded, all bets are off. The Freudians couldn't say, "Well, I know why those boys killed their mother, because there was a brutal." Oh, the sociologists, they had no explanation. "Well, I'm telling you what happened over there." You see, that was beyond any way we can figure out anything in life. And we come to the point and say, "All we know, it was evil, demonic evil. It's the only explanation." All the rest of the stories and understanding and trying to figure it out are not worth a hoot. They're invalid. Wow, reloaded. C.S. Lewis said about evil in Screwtape Letters, he said, there's two problems in understanding and dealing with evil. He said, there's one group that thinks evil is not real. It's not there. Evil is just, you know, absence of good. Evil is just our imagination. Evil is just a category in our ethical scheme. And evil's not, there's no devil. No. There's no supernatural realm. By the way, when you say that, you're going against quantum physics. Scientists who say there are many, many realms, many, many dimensions, but we won't go there. Say evil's not real. There's no mystical realm. There's no invisible realm. Evil's not real. Oh, no, it's just folklore. That's one extreme, said Lewis. The other extreme is to say the evil's everywhere. I'll bet you evil is in that box in this platform. Oh, evil's under that chair. Look out, there's a demon running over there. And everywhere we go, there are demons and there are devils and there are witches. And we just got the whole world filled up, and we got to make sure we pray and bind and seal and all this stuff. Demons are everywhere. Lewis says you got people have demons everywhere. They're messed up. He said, people say, well, there's no such thing as a devil and demons. He said, they're messed up. And so we're talking about understanding the devil today. And he comes so subtly. There's a lizard in the desert. I've read about this lizard, when confronted or when frightened, the lizard will swell up, puff up. And the lizard does that to frighten you off. If that doesn't work, the lizard just rolls over and plays dead. Boom. If the devil doesn't frighten you, he just rolls over and says, I'm not anything, I'm just a joke. Figment of imagination, no big deal, you know. Either extreme, he's everywhere or he's nowhere, we're in trouble. But evil is real. We discover that Satan is real. And we've defined what evil is. It's that hole. We said this is where evil comes from, the only three explanations for the devil. The other two seem totally invalid to me. They have no place to have legitimacy in any philosophical, theological realm. And then you come to the fact and say, the biblical view of evil, that's what we're dealing with. Now, two pregnant words in our scripture I want us to see. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, the plans of the devil. You have to go and find out what's going on. What's his strategy? How does he operate? Well, first of all, understand his basic character. He's a liar. Have to get that. Jesus talked about evil and demon possession. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to deal with Jesus on morality, and I'm going to deal with Jesus on the cross, and I'm going to deal with Jesus in the Beatitudes. I'm going to deal with Jesus in the parables. Let me tell you something. Read the life of Jesus. It's full of dealing with evil and the demonic. You can't just say, I'm going to take this, and I'm not going to take that.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Even as Christians, there are things that bind us and enslave us. Inside every individual, there's a whole herd of wild horses. We may call them by a lot of names, natural desire, instinct, basic drives, but they are wild horses. A big part of the business of life is discovering how to handle these wild horses in you and me. The solution may surprise you. We invite our Heavenly Father to come put His arms around us and to take those wild horses within us and help us put a bridle on them and a saddle on them so we can ride them all the way through life, for His glory and honor and with passion. We see the most miserable person in the world is not someone who is not a Christian. It is a Christian who names the name of Christ but still has so many areas in their life in which he or she is enslaved to sin. But if you are enslaved to Christ, you live to please Him and to give Him pleasure and to be obedient to Him every day. You discover this way works. Then you become truly free. Make me a captive, Lord, that I may be free.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here with us today. Come back next week for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message, The Strategy of Satan. Have a great weekend.